I am Jake Mosier, and this is the Super Mosier Brothers Show, a podcast where two brothers and best friends take their lifelong passion talking about video games away from the family dinner table and to the microphone. If this one sounds a little different in your ears, it's because we are in person together. Sam, how are you doing?
I am the reason this episode will be even shorter than usual, even shorter than it was planned to be. Famously, our as much as Jake and I try to talk about it off mic, that we would like our podcast to be shorter. It was going to be short this week because Jake has a soccer game tonight. But work ran long for me, which was a terrible, terrible thing to do to Jake.
And I'm fine.
So anyway, we're now recording. We got about 50 minutes on the clock. Yeah, we're going to get you to your soccer game.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Honestly, for an episode where we are starting to build a list, it is probably best to put time constraints on ourselves rather than not have an end time, as we will then ramble on about things we probably don't need to ramble on about. So, because we are short on time, Sam, is there anything non-video game related you'd like to get out of the way before we get into the show?
I don't think so. What about you? How are you?
I'm good. We'll hit it quick. I saw Marc Maron at this point a little over a week ago in Kansas City, and I determined, one, comedy shows are the best live experience you can have. I would pick them over a concert any day. I would pick them barely over a musical, but my two comedy shows I've been to have been the most fun I've had in a live experience. You don't wait around. It's quick. Everyone behaves well. You're guaranteed to have most likely good sound, and you get the experience that you anticipate actually happens, and it's fucking hilarious. It was maybe my favorite set of his, of the ones I have watched on a streaming service.
Who is the other comedian you've seen live?
I saw Hasan Minhaj in Columbia, Missouri.
I forgot about that. Jeez. Well, I'm also so happy that Marc Maron was a great experience. I'm jealous you got to go.
I will recommend the special to anyone when it comes out. Fucking hilarious. I had hiccups about 10 minutes in, and I had hiccups, no joke, for 5 to 6 hours because I wasn't breathing for most of the show.
Any word on when that will be out?
In his interview with Ariana Grande a few weeks ago, he said he was filming it in either LA or New York, I think relatively soon. This is the second half of the tour, so I presume whenever the end of this second half comes, it will be the LA or New York recording. So I would guess end of this year, potentially?
Yeah, soon.
Yeah. But let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Our main topic for today is starting our 2025 video game developer power rankings. What does that mean? We'll get into it very shortly. Thank you to anyone who's listening. It means so much. If you enjoy our show, subscribe to it in your podcasts. Leave us a review, share it with your friends. It would mean the galaxy to us. Sam, I'm going to preface the audience with what we're doing here. If you follow any sport, they power rank the league. You watch NFL, MLB, MLS, Premier League, etc. They do these lists usually on a weekly basis, based on the schedule of the league, in which they will power rank all of the teams. It is a fun way for people to check in on how industry pundits and journalists perceive their team is doing. I don't think anyone has done this for video game developers. I don't think I've seen anyone do this really outside of the sports format. Yes, people will power rank, oh, we're going to power rank all the games in a series, but that's not really something that evolves over time. This will be something that, if the show continues year after year, we will update this year after year.
The closest analog, non-sports analog to this is one of our favorite podcasts, yes. The Big Picture, annually does a 30 under 30 list where they power rank the 30 most popular, most prominent, most box office drawing actors and actresses and performers in the industry. So, like, I think Timothy's been number one.
Zendaya's up there.
Yeah. Glenn Powell, like, over, you know, he has risen. Well, he did rise to the ranks. Now he's too old. Is it under 40? I think it's under 40 is the list. It's 30 under 40. Because Margot Robbie, I remember, got bumped out. And
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Anyway, it's not important. We're not talking about performers here. We're talking about games.
Yeah, so what we will do here today is part one. We will do part two sometime in the next month. Part one will be gathering the list of 30 developers. Sam and I are doing that 30. We felt it was an appropriate amount for a few reasons. One, after making my list, I only got to 50. I'm sure I could build out more, but in terms of what is actually relevant to include on a power ranking, 30 felt appropriate. Two, it's a realistic number. It's not going to make the show drag on too long. And then three, it kind of matches the amount of teams that are in many of those leagues, usually sports tend to hover somewhere between like 28 to 32. So this felt comfortable.
And I like it being competitive. I like there being, you know, you had 50 on your list. I think I had 35 on mine. And even then there were folks who I was like, they crossed my mind, but I'm like, they're not in my top 30. So how we're going to do this, I believe, is that both, did you whittle your 50 list down to 30?
No, so I kept the 50. Here is, I think, how we should go through this, is we should start, and I kind of wrote it in the doc. I want to start with the locks. Get out of the way, the guaranteed, we don't need to have a conversation about them, because we will have a conversation when we rank them. Get those out of the way first. Then next, I want to go through and get rid of the ones that are on your list that you're like, okay, these are on the bubble, or these are, what was the word I used? In the doc, you can scroll
the
down.
The fades.
The fades. Ones that we would fade. We don't, yes, we consider them, but I don't think they necessarily will deserve to be on the list. Hopefully that leaves us with somewhere between 15 to 20 developers that maybe we're deciding on the last 15 spots. So how do you feel about that?
I love the plan. I got an answer, by the way. It's I was wrong both times. It's 35 under 35 is what the big pick is.
Okay. In Emma, between.
Because Emma Stone got edged off from like the top three when she turned 36. So anyway, I know people were desperately wanting an answer to that.
The only point of clarification that we need to decide on right now before we get started is what do we do with Nintendo?
What do we do with Capcom?
Those were the two.
Yeah.
Capcom, I'm a little more confident in saying we just do Capcom because I don't know how their teams work. Nintendo's a little different because not only do they have Nintendo EPD, and then according to a very long article I read, there's like 10 teams within that EPD.
That makes sense.
Which I don't think we need to do. What do we do about a HAL Laboratories? What do we do about, there are some odd ones that, yes, they are their own developer, but they're basically Nintendo because they get help from EPD. But then there's like Intelligent Systems, which feels like its own defined thing. There's Next Level Games, which feels like its own defined thing. Not that they're going to be on the top 30, but you get what I mean.
The way I did it was, if it is a defined entity, I think it is fine to include on the list, and by the strength of their own branding, I think it simply lifts it up into the top five. Like, EPD, let's put it on the list. Yes. Capcom, let's put it on the list. We can make a case for HAL Laboratory or Retro Studios or Intelligent Systems, but because they are their own individual identities that don't have the, that aren't have the lifted tide of being the same studio that brought you Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom as EPD did, then maybe you don't make the 30.
I really would appreciate if Nintendo would do their own breakdown of their EPD teams, because I saw an article that broke it down. I don't know if you've seen this. It's very interesting, but I don't know if I believe it because I don't know where they got the info from. But if that article is true, which maybe I'll send to you and you can link in the show notes,
yeah,
is really interesting. Who makes what games?
Well, I don't. It's interesting because there's Nintendo, there's Capcom, and then there is kind of what you're talking about, which is Square Enix.
Yes.
The creative business unit, which of which I learned this week, I believe there are 4 to 5. And that is like, they could just be, it's a Square Enix game. I think if you ask 9 out of 10 people who played Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, they would tell you Square Enix made it. They wouldn't be able to tell you which business unit made it.
And thank God, for the sake of this exercise, Ubisoft doesn't make good enough games for us to have that issue.
So I made my list late at night, as I tend to do, and I thought I did pretty well, and there was a moment about halfway through, because I was going by publisher, and then like into indies, and I was like, don't forget about Ubisoft. I forgot about Ubisoft.
So we'll get to it. I do think Ubisoft Quebec, who makes the big Assassin's Creed games, deserves consideration, but we will get to that. Sam, you already kind of got ahead of it. Capcom, Nintendo, EPD, locks. I agree. That is 2 of the 30. Will you be keeping track of this list?
Yep, I got it pulled up.
Okay, that is 2. Let's continue on the locks, ones that we do not need to talk about or have an argument about whether they deserve to be on this list. Let's just ping pong back and forth. I'll take Naughty Dog.
I'll take Insomniac.
I will put Valve.
I didn't.
Even though they do not output games frequently, considering they just released Deadlock. Alex recently and Deadlock,
yep,
they
fair.
Are still actively making phenomenal games.
Nope.
They're just few and far between.
Nope, that's fair. Next up, I'll go maybe not, like, shouldn't be the sixth developer named, but they're top of mind after last week's main topic, Housemark.
I would have put them on this list as well. One that might feel odd, considering, again, mentioning them seventh, but due to the contributions to two of the best games of all time and independently developing games that we don't have affinity for but that people do love, Monolith Soft, who co-developed the two, my two favorite games of all time. Oh.
Wow, we're talking about the famously tortured House of Wonder Woman.
No, no.
That's Monolith Productions. Wait, what's Monolith Soft?
They are the people who make Xenoblade and helped with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, I didn't know they helped with those games. I was like, okay, yeah, Jake's talking about the Shadow of...
No, they helped with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom and then independently developed the Xenoblade games. Which, I'm not saying they're obviously going to be, like, top 10. I think they will be, like, a between 30 and 25, but... I don't know. When I was going through the list of developers, I was like, they have helped make two of my favorite games of all time, and they've made one of the best JRPG series going right now, ones that obviously we haven't played, but all of those games have like 88, 87 on Metacritic, which felt like maybe they're not a lock, maybe they should be on the bubble, but they felt like they should be considered.
I'm going to put them... Because I'm going to put them in the bubble simply because I think there might be some discussion about it. But you've made an excellent case.
Okay.
I didn't know they helped with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. Because I already, frankly, considered that putting them in my 30 for the Xenoblade games alone.
Let me confirm that, but I'm pretty confident. Sam, what is another lock?
Pulling from recency, I think if you win Game of the Year, you should probably be in consideration. I think... safe to say with our love for Astro's Playroom and Astrobot, that Team Asobi is a lock.
Yes, I would agree. Speaking of winning Game of the Year, I think From Software should be a lock.
Duh, yeah, that one should have been in the top. Well, we'll get to that. Next up, I want to enter our first indie, one that I think is a... We should talk about criteria about how we ended up ranking these, but like, I'll just say off the top, quantity or maybe more so frequency is going to help you here. It's what have you done for me lately and how often have you done it for me? It's obviously easy for what we talked about with Capcom and Nintendo EPD to put them really high because not only are they consistently releasing great games, but they're releasing one, if not more than one, great game per year. Indies don't work on that scale. Frankly, I don't know if, like, one of our favorite studios, Extremely OK Games, is going to end up here because they haven't released a game in 7 years.
Yeah.
But one studio that is very consistent and is one game of the year is Supergiant, the studio behind Hades.
They were the one indie studio that I think deserves to be a quote-unquote lock. Even if Hades is not, in my opinion, the best game ever made, it is a very fucking good game and all their other games are beloved.
What's next for you?
I do want to confirm, they did help out with both Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. According to what I found in my research, it seemed their open world experience and topography experience is what was taken.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Next, even though we do not necessarily have the same love that I think other people do, I do think Santa Monica Studios, considering what they've created before, the relevance of those games in the past years, they deserve to be here.
I royally goofed and didn't put them on my 30, which that was a slip up, not an intentional mistake. Similarly, let me go with one I'm actually sure we're not going to argue about, id Software.
Yes, I agree. They should be on there. They're making probably the best shooters today. Sam, one I also don't think we'll argue about, Remedy.
Oh, they're on my list. I was like, I say, did I forget them too? No, absolutely. One of the most creative and frankly, like, just recognizable studios in terms of what games they make.
How many are we at right now?
Let me number these. That's what I should have been doing instead of bullets. Let me give actual numbers. God, the numbering system here is terrible. We're at 12.
Okay.
Well, 13 if you count Monolith Soft.
Once we get to 20, let's read through the list again.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
If we're talking Game of the Year, maybe not winners, but depending on who you ask, I'm going to submit Studio Zero, the people who brought you Metaphor ReFantazio.
So are they separate from Atlus then, technically?
So technically, within Atlus, there is P Studio, which gave you Persona 5 and Persona 3 Reload most recently, and then there's Studio Zero, which maybe this is on the bubble.
I would say bubble because I would probably put the Persona 5 and 3 Reload just due to workload and bandwidth over the one game studio. Even though people love it, I feel like that's an on the bubble person.
I'll put both of them on the bubble. Because the interesting thing is a lot of Persona people went from P Studio to form Studio Zero.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe there's another game that we need to solidify if, like, what is exactly who is the king, but I'll put both of them on the bubble.
My next one would be Respawn.
Oh, yeah. That one's on my list as well.
Obviously, the Jedi games are fantastic, and Titanfall 2 is one of the best shooters of all time. No more needs to be said.
Next up, I'll go to, you know, give Xbox some love. We talked about id Software. I'm going to go with Arkane Studios.
Yes, I would concur. They are also on my list. While we're talking about Arkane, I haven't played it yet, so it's really hard for me to have the passion to slap them here. Machine Games, yep, with Indiana Jones and the Wolfenstein games, they feel like they deserve to be on this list.
I was actually going to say them next, but I figured Arkane would be less of an argument, but I'm in agreement there. My turn?
Yes.
Let's see.
This is going to get tight real quick, let me tell you.
Sucker Punch?
For now, yes. I think we're going to quickly get to 30 and realize some of these locks aren't locks, but I think considering, I mean, everything Sucker Punch has done, again, some of these places and studios, the distance between games makes it harder to recognize them as easily, but Sucker Punch hasn't made a bad game ever, and we love most of their games, so they deserve to be here. Next, I would like to shout out CD Projekt Red.
Oh, that was a big lapse on my part, yeah.
Obviously, I shouldn't say obviously because I've only played Cyberpunk 2077, but people love the Witcher games. People are very excited for in their future, and Cyberpunk has become quite the large game now that it's been fixed.
Shall I now submit the next king of RPGs of the moment, Larian Studios?
Yes, they were also on my list, even though I think they fall not into the same camp as, I guess I can't even say that. I was going to say the same camp as the Metaphor people. That's not true. They've made so many more games. They just are now getting their spotlight, kind of like CD Projekt Red. So shout out them. They definitely deserve to be here. While we're talking about big games, Rockstar. Did you also forget
huge
them?
Huge lapse on my list. Holy shit. And it's funny because, like, when I was thinking about this, I was like, oh, of course we're going to talk about Rockstar. Of course we're going to talk about Naughty Dog, yada, yada. But, like, when I went down to sit and, make the list, what was the exercise I did? I looked at the best games of the 2020s. Which Rockstar has not, but it has to go on the list.
It has to be on the list.
Oof. All right, I'll go next. Maybe it goes on the bubble, but, well, okay, very, very recent. RGG Studio.
Yes, they deserve to be on there. Their
Even if I can't say
is,
them.
last night when I was going through all the major publishers and then the developers under them, I was like, Sega? I was like, well, they haven't made much. It's like, oh, shit. Like, then you have the Atlas section and you have the RGG section of Sega, and it's like, yeah, they definitely deserve to be here.
Okay, I just went. Your turn.
Not that it's getting difficult. I still have a lot of great studios on my team. It's just about which ones I want to shout out first. I think I would say IO Interactive. I haven't played much of the Hitman games, but the level of love those are talked about, and obviously I think in my head, I often group them together. That's, at this point, almost 10 years of development time. Three great games that are beloved and adored. And I think the James Bond game is going to be really, really good if it happens with the news today. But
oh, God. Yeah. As of recording, Amazon now has primary creative control of the James Bond franchise, which means prepare for a TV show and a cinematic universe and Young Bond. And
I think the best Blue Sky post I saw today was get ready for Red 1-2 with James Bond.
Oof. Oof, oof, oof. He's coming to save Mrs. Claus.
Are they maybe a bubble? put him on the bubble for now.
I'm going to put him on the bubble. Here's one that I want to tickle your fancy with. One, you know, we're doing studios, although what this episode is really called is Game Developer Power Ranking, and perhaps the best known household name developer, maybe behind Miyamoto, is Kojima. Kojima Productions.
So, I'm fine to put them there for now. I think they will be, again, they have made one game. There is a good chance that they are on the latter end of this list and potentially bumped off. I would like to shout out a massive developer we have not discussed yet, Blizzard.
Oh, so I should, I feel weird.
Like you can't put them on here.
So, but I was going to let you argue
Yes, I think they deserve to be on this list.
My company works with Blizzard. I'm not on that team personally, but... So, like, I didn't bring Game Freak into this. I didn't bring...
I will personally say I have Game Freak on this list. Game Freak is weird because unlike many of these other developers, and this isn't necessarily a critique, Game Freak is Pokemon. Yes, they have made a few other games, but they are Pokemon. And so it feels weird to basically just power rank Pokemon amongst these developers, but Pokemon is such a specific thing and such a massive thing that it feels weird to be like, okay, here's Game Freak at number 18 next to like the people who made Uncharted and Last of Us and Doom and I don't know, but I guess they should be on the bubble. Put them on the bubble for now.
Putting Game Freak on the bubble, I, you know, again, maybe this is my own bias, but I put Blizzard in locks. It feels...
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
How many are we at?
We are now at 21 locks, quote unquote.
Okay.
Some of which maybe won't be locks. And we have six, fades.
Or six bubbles.
Six bubbles. Let's call them the bubbles.
We'll get to the fades, the trash can.
All right, Bungie.
I would definitely put them at the edge of the bubble out, mostly because they are a company that is, unfortunately, in kind of like teams that aren't going to make this list, but in a less severe way, the Bungie being the less severe way, Rocksteady, BioWare, teams that are, I think, on a downward trend, and I don't think are quite going to make that top 30. Bungie is one who I think is definitely not on the same exact trajectory as those two teams, but definitely needs a win. And Marathon very much could be the win that immediately puts it back in the 30. I don't know if they should be there right now. I think part of the power ranking experience is just like any football team. Like, you're voting on how they're doing now. Yes, their legacy is important, but it's about the current time, and the current time of Bungie is not great.
No, it is totally, what have you done for me lately? And the final shape was amazing for all I know, but the public vote of confidence in Bungie is not high.
Yeah.
Let's close the PlayStation book, or at least my section of the PlayStation book. Where's Guerrilla?
They should be on the bubble. Okay. Even though I think people are a little tired of Horizon, I do think it is important to note how big that series has been for PlayStation and how much I enjoyed the first one and, like, relatively enjoyed the second, so.
I don't care for Forbidden West, and Zero Dawn is by no means, like, near the top of my PlayStation exclusives list, but, like, it's a well-made game, and also it's kind of hard to discount the size and potential of that studio of, like, there are not many studios that can make a game like Horizon Forbidden West.
Agreed.
All right, that is PlayStation for me. I guess I've shot out a few. Who do you have next?
There's so many at this point that I think I'm out of the ones I would consider locks.
Okay, one, I think, well, I don't know. It feels weird not to lock them in somewhere. So how are we doing Square Enix?
I don't know.
So I wrote down Business Unit 1, which gives us the Final Fantasy VII Remake games, and they're working on Kingdom Hearts 4.
Okay.
And then there's Creative Business Unit 3, which does the MMO, Final Fantasy 14. They did 16, and they did Kingdom Hearts 3.
I guess where I'm torn is I think if we're separating out Atlas, we need to separate out Square Enix, which is fine with me. if we're going to include one of... It's weird because if... I guess for what we're talking about there, we would include Business Unit 1. I think the 7 remake games have dominated the conversation more, and we have Kingdom Hearts 4 to look forward to, as opposed to Final Fantasy 14, which had a kind of disappointing DLC last year. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't phenomenal. Kingdom Hearts 3 is, in the past, it was liked, but not beloved by any means. And then Final Fantasy 16, a hit. Obviously, didn't sell well because Square Enix is bad about making their sales metrics. But ultimately, I think if we have to pick one, which I don't think we should put two on this list, we would pick Creative Business Unit 1.
Okay. All right, let's see. Anyone I don't think you will push against me on?
One more that I think...
Well, actually, I have one more.
One more that needs to be included, despite both of us having zero interest in any of their games, is Riot.
See, I thought about them, much in the way I thought about... Well, I thought about Blizzard and left them off for personal reasons, or for professional reasons. Riot, so this was the one I was like, how much of our taste are we basing this on?
I'm trying to remove taste as much as possible.
I will make one more case. Oh, sorry. Go on. Finish your point.
They have two massive games in Valorant, in League of Legends, and then 2KXO, I think, is going to be pretty big. And so it's pretty hard to not, like, I would argue they could end up being in the top 10 for how relevant they are concurrently, which might get into maybe the next one you might bring up.
Well, I left Riot off the list because it was a bit of what have you done for me lately. And like, League of Legends is huge. But like, it is kind of its own siloed thing. And Valorant is, both of their games are so siloed that they almost feel outside of gaming culture. Like they just are their own cultures. But 2KXO is an excellent point. That feels like it is breaking into something different than their last two games have. Let's talk about the other live service juggernaut, Epic Games.
I think they have to be on this list. 100%. Because if this is video game developer power rankings from all perspectives, from the consumer perspective of what does this provide me on an entertainment level, I think we need to also be evaluating these on a business perspective, because that's half of what we talk about on the show from the PR and marketing angle. And Epic is the biggest thing right now with Fortnite. And so we can't not have them here.
All right. So that concludes. Now, again, I made a list of 30, of which I think I'm not eliminating them, so I don't have a hard count. I think there's like probably at least 6 that I have not brought up. We already have 8 games in the bubble, and we're at 24 locks.
So we are already 2 over.
Yeah.
So I think the best way to do this now, read the ones you have remaining. I will tell you if any of them I think are immediate fades, we're done. I don't even want to discuss them. If I think they deserve to be in the bubble or potentially even locks, hit me with them. I'm sure a few of them are the ones I have remaining.
Okay. All right, going through what we don't have yet. Playground games, Forza Horizon, upcoming Fable.
They're on my list. I think they definitely should be in the bubble.
Forza Horizon 5, now top of mind, coming to PlayStation 5, one of my favorite racing games of all time, and Fable, I mean, if Fable is great, like, could ratchet them greatly up the list.
Completely agree. Also, consider Forza Horizon 5 coming to PlayStation very soon, so.
All right, next up in the Xbox pantheon, Bethesda Game Studios.
They are worth us talking about them in this moment. I can tell you right now they are not going to make the top 30. They are like the one of the better definitions, similar to BioWare, of someone that has an incredible legacy. But in terms of how they're doing in the moment, Starfield was a disappointment, and Elder Scrolls is years away.
I have created the fades section. I renamed the bubbles to the fades to the bubbles. And I just created the fades where I've put Bethesda Game Studios, because I don't think either of us are going to try to fight for it.
No, they don't deserve to be there. They don't deserve to be in the top 30, the premier league of the video game developers. Sam, what is your next one?
Next up, I have... Yeah, this one's not going to... It's going to draw some ire from you. Hazelight Studios, Game of the Year winner for It Takes Two, and now they have Split Fiction coming up.
They're the 9th studio I wrote down.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Put him on the bubble, 100%.
Okay, next up we have, from me, Intelligent Systems, makers of Fire Emblem and the Paper Mario series.
Bubble for sure. That, even though their games are for a smaller audience, which I do think definitely isn't going to hurt them in this conversation against some of these juggernauts. I think it's worth having a conversation for the bottom of this list.
All right. Okay. I have two more. The other indie, and this is maybe a little cute, but I think I wanted to like get some other indie acknowledgement in here. Again, household names. Derek Yu, who spearheaded the UFO 50 project last year and has made Spelunky 1 and 2.
Ultimately isn't going to make the 30. I have other indie developers that aren't going to make the 30 because, as we kind of talked about, their imprint and output is just going to be really difficult to get them on this kind of list. It would be fun. Maybe we start a separate power ranking later this year of indie studios.
Yeah.
I think that could be really fun. Maybe a smaller list of 20. I hate to separate them out like that, but it's just hard to compete.
In this case, again, where it's a lot about what have you done for me lately, number of releases, like they just can't compete. But they can make games that are better, frankly.
What is your last one?
Obsidian. Maybe a little bit top of mind with Avowed, but they have Outer Worlds 2 coming out. Pentiment was a huge indie hit.
I think they deserve to be on the bubble. As someone who started the Outer Worlds this week and has a lot to say, but maybe we won't have enough time today for that.
All right, Jake, let's complete the bubble with your remaining games.
Some of these I will self-fade, starting with HAL Laboratory. They're just going to keep making Kirby games, and while I adored the last Kirby game, maybe if the next Kirby game takes another step forward, I can consider them here, but sorry, Kirby's not quite enough.
I just need to be convinced that they can do another Forgotten Land.
Next, I'm scrolling down my list. This one's a little weird. Because, again, it's a what have you been doing for me lately, and it's been a little bit, but we know they're working on something. There's Toys for Bob, who have made Crash 4, which is one of my favorite platformers of all time. They did the remake of Spyro?
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
Yes, and they did.
And they're probably working on a new Spyro. But I don't know if I can justify them in the 30. Who did Vicarious do the Tony Hawk remake?
Yes.
Yeah,
and then they got subsumed into Blizzard.
If they were one, then maybe I could justify them together. Yeah. But on their own, it's not quite enough to make the 30.
Listen, I think there is no one you could be talking to who would more want to root for the idea of Toys for Bob being in the top 30. But we're a couple years... Like, hopefully that's on the horizon, but right now that's a no.
Another indie one that I'll shout out, but ultimately I don't think will make the 30. Image and Form... They are the people who make all the SteamWorld games. And those SteamWorld games are always well-viewed, and they do have a high output. I just don't think they have quite the commercial appeal yet for them to be on this list.
Yeah, and Frank, it's a shame because I know, like, the heist games are super great. I know there were fans of the card-based one. Quest, I think, was its name. Obviously, Dig is, like, their biggest, most mainstream hits, but... Yeah, like you said, I just don't think they necessarily... Every one of their game breaks through.
Now I'm going to hit you with the big guns. The ones that you're like, fuck, how did I forget that? Why aren't we talking about that? Starting with... We kind of already talked about this one. Maybe this one's not one of them. Ubisoft Quebec.
Worth considering.
Yes. Next, NetherRealm.
Okay. Yeah, this is my own bias coming in. Yeah, Mortal Kombat.
The last Mortal Kombat was... pretty damn popular. People liked it a lot. They probably will continue to make fighting games. I wouldn't be shocked if we get a new Injustice announced. Obviously, everything going with Warner Brothers makes what they're doing a little bit difficult, but I think they're worth considering. Next, Platinum Games, who...
I did not forget them.
We have Ninja Gaiden 4 coming out this year. Bayonetta 3 was a big hit. Yes, they did have some failings in the past 2-3 years, but before that... Obviously, Nier Automata, Astral Chain, they had a pretty big run, and now it seems like we're back on the up and up with Bayonetta 3 and Ninja Gaiden 4. Too many numbers.
They were probably the last studio I cut from my 30, so I'm willing to put them back in the bubble.
We can chat about them. I don't know if they'll ultimately make it, but worth considering. One that we can definitely fade, but they had a big pop at the Game Awards, that is Gen Design. Some of the most legendary games. It's a new studio-ish.
The minds, but much like I think Kojima Productions partly kind of like grandfathers in Metal Gear, Gen Design, you grandfather in Ico and Shadow and Last Guardian.
Sam, maybe the biggest one you missed, and maybe you remembered it and you chose to fade it, but it's definitely due to personal bias, and that is HoYoverse, the makers of Genshin Impact and a variety of other very, very popular free-to-play games.
I rolled my eyes for all of you audio listeners, which is all of you.
Even though
it's worth considering,
they keep pumping out new games, and apparently they are very popular. I looked up last night when I was doing my research, or two nights ago. There was like a Reddit thread of who are your favorite developers. The amount of people who said HoYoverse was insane.
Well, it's fucked up that you don't even know the name of the developer. It's miHoYo.
Oh,
And they create games in the HoYoverse.
Close enough.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I forget where, like, again, if Riot is in conversation. Again, Riot is much, much, much bigger than even miHoYo is. But, like, it's not... miHoYo is not far behind.
So, two final ones left that are definitely bubbles and maybe even fades in your mind. First, Firaxis. They just had Civilization come out. Even though Midnight Suns did not sell well, it was pretty well liked amongst those who did play it. They obviously have the XCOM franchise. And then my final one, again, pretty relevant because of the Xbox showcase recently, Team Ninja.
Team Ninja has been very, very prolific, or at least, like, just efficient. They are releasing, you know, Rise of the Ronin.
Yes.
Like Mark of the Ninja. Rise of the Ronin. And what was the Monster Hunter like?
Was that them?
No, that was another studio.
Bandai Namco?
Yeah, let me figure it out. But is that it?
There is one more that I want to shout out only because I think our PlayStation bias is showing.
Whoa, long. Not a Monster Hunter like.
Thank you. The Monster Hunter like was a Bandai Namco game called Wild Hearts.
Yes.
Our PlayStation bias is showing because I want to ask you a simple question. Do we think the Coalition is really any less relevant than Housemarque?
I think, frankly, I'll be a little bit generous. I think if you ask 9 out of 10, like, games, just gamers, whether they prefer Returnal or Gears 5, they would tell you Returnal.
If you asked normal games players if they've heard of Returnal or heard of Gears, they would say Gears.
No, that's fair.
Not saying we need to bump Housemarque, but like it feels like the Coalition, who has, unlike 343, made consistently good games and isn't like in turmoil 90% of the time their games release, I feel like they deserve to be on the bubble.
That's fine. We can put them on the bubble. Listen, with that argument, the average gamer, what they've played, why isn't Infinity Ward? Or
I guess I would go beyond, fuck, we need to do that.
Yeah, Infinity Ward, or what's the...
It would be Treyarch.
Treyarch
should be on here. I think that's the only one that needs to be on here. I would even remove it from the average gamer, and you're just asking people who play games. I just think Gears has a lot more relevance than... I mean, Housemarque only recently had larger term relevance, and even then, it's still pretty small scale. Not only for, like, people, but sales and, like, all the actual metrics, Housemarque isn't delivering, besides critical acclaim.
That's an important metric.
And it's important
to Sony.
I think they deserve to be on this list. I will happily put them on here, but I do think we cannot discredit the... I mean, neither of us have played the Gears games, so... They're supposed to be pretty fun.
I haven't played a Machine Games title or a CD Projekt Red title, but like the love for those kind of permeate whether you've actually touched those games themselves. And frankly, there's not a whole lot of diehard Gears fans out there right now.
That is fair, and I do think they are definitely suffering from a case of the we've only made Gears forever. Because even, like, pulling on a Sucker Punch, like, is what they're making really all that different from the level of what the Coalition has been doing in Gears? I really don't think so, but they've made new things, so.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
All right. Sorry, Crystal Dynamics, you made the Avengers. I'm trying to think what else I thought about.
I'm sure there are a wide swath of studios we've forgotten. What are they called? Who's the studio who makes all the amazing remasters that everyone loves? That have Night Dive, that have been like saving so many games. Like, I would argue their relevance is very important and maybe should be considered. We've gone through Nintendo, we've gone through PlayStation. Are there any Xbox studios that we are blanking on just because we're not Xbox people?
I mean, like, you talked about Halo Studios. Like, we left off Turn 10, like, because we're not simulation racers. We left off Retro Studios because they haven't released a game in over a decade.
I think we're in a good spot.
Yeah. Shout out to, who makes Metroid Dread?
That is Mercury Steam.
One from my heart.
Yeah, another, okay. I'm being a bit of a tool right now, but same like Housemarque versus Mercury Steam debate. Like, if you remove Housemarque from PlayStation, what makes them different from Mercury Steam, who has put out two like phenomenal Metroidvania games?
Just because Returnal is like one of the best games ever.
A lot of people don't love that game.
They're wrong.
But that is our list. We now need to cut it down to 30.
All right, so in our locks, we have Nintendo EPD, Capcom, Naughty Dog, Insomniac, Valve, Housemarque, Team Asobi, From Software, Supergiant Games, Sony Santa Monica, id Software, Remedy Entertainment, Respawn Entertainment, Arcane Studios, Machine Games, Sucker Punch, CD Projekt Red, Larian Studios, Rockstar, RGG Studio, Blizzard Entertainment, Square Enix Creative Business Unit 1, Riot Games, Epic Games. That feels pretty good to me.
That is 24. That leaves 6 spots. We have, quick maths, 13 games on the bubble. That means 7 studios will need to be cut. Sam, I think, like I had preempted at the beginning of this segment, I think it's easiest to go through these and try to be honest with ourselves about what studios are realistically not going to make it.
I think that's fine.
I would like to start with the one that I was iffy about in the first place, and that is Bungie.
That's fair.
They, when you are power, and this is, I would argue, maybe what we should do if the goal is to power rank them in their entirety, should we just make it 40? Because still, we have, that would mean we're still cut out maybe 35?
Cause that was the quick maths. Like, we had that was like 18. So now we're like, anyway, we still have quite a few to eliminate.
Should we do 35 then?
Yeah, we do ape the big picture.
Because my argument here is, I still honestly think at 35, Bungie might not make it. But like, when you power rank NFL teams, there's a team that's 32 out of 32. Obviously, we don't have the time or the resources to power rank every developer that exists. That would be unrealistic. But I do think there's a relevance to being at the bottom of the list. There's a reason you're there. Would Bungie still be there? I don't know. But do you want to move it up to 35, or do you want to keep it at 30 and keep it a little more high and mighty?
I am fine. Almost for the sake of, I like having a bit more wiggle room. There's a part of me that worries that, like, a certain 20 developers would never leave the power ranking. Maybe they would like shift a space up
and
down.
It's probably true.
So having 35 allows for a bit more moving and shaking if we do it annually.
Yeah, let's keep it at 35, which means now we only need to cut
7.
7,
yeah.
Which is a lot easier. Sam, are there any ones that you all immediately look at and say, I think this should be cut?
This, again, so Monolith Soft, P Studio, Studio Zero, which, you know, Persona and Metaphor, IO Interactive, Kojima Productions, Game Freak, Gorilla, Playground Games, Intelligent Systems, Obsidian Entertainment, Ubisoft Quebec, NetherRealm Studios, Platinum Games, MiHoYo, Firaxis, Team Ninja, The Coalition, Treyarch. I almost am curious if we cut Ubisoft Quebec, and maybe we put them back next year if Shadows is good. Because they have not released a game since Immortals Fenyx Rising 5 years ago.
Who did Valhalla?
Good question. Probably Montpellier? Montreal.
Which ones have they done? Now I need to go through the two.
So, Ubisoft Montreal Games, they have done Assassin's Creed Origins, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Rainbow Six Extraction, Roller Champions, and the Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake.
Yeah, it definitely shouldn't be them, considering some of those more recent games. I actually really like Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah, but they've done well. Quebec is AC Odyssey, AC Shadows, and AC Syndicate.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair... I don't know. It's hard to judge, because if we're not giving some studios the points for what we're excited about, then how many other studios should get cut? But then it's also, should we more be judging these on the output of what came out as opposed to what's coming? That's a hard question.
How excited are we for Shadows?
I'm really fucking excited.
Okay, then let's leave it.
I'm going to shout out three developers who are all in, I think, the same issue, which is the Coalition, IO Interactive, and NetherRealm, which have basically made the same game for the last 10 years, but have done that at a very high level and are consistent. IO, I think, has the benefit because they are making a Bond game. Coalition, also, they're doing a prequel. People seem excited. Maybe NetherRealm is the one that gets the bump then, because they've kind of been doing the same thing for 10 years now.
I'm fine with moving NetherRealm down, especially because like there was the whole like Switch stuff around, and that's partly publisher hijinks, but I would be itching to see them do something new, some new sub-franchise outside of Injustice and Mortal Kombat, or really shake up the formulas. And even the Coalition, I think similarly to my argument for Quebec, it's like, let's wait to see what they do with E-Day.
I am comfortable with that mostly because we only have 5 minutes and we need to get through this. So we have 11 spots left in our top 35. I'm going to make nominations to make the 11 and you can tell me yes or no. Though we're very close. We only have to eliminate 5 more. I think Treyarch should be there, who consistently makes the most popular, best-selling Call of Duties that people love and are very fun.
That's fair.
I would like to suggest that Playground Games get there, who made one of the best racing games of all time that people love and are making one of the biggest games for Xbox that people are very excited about.
Yep.
I would like to nominate Kojima Productions. One, Kojima. Do I really need to say more than that? Probably not. But he has 3 projects in the works that people are all very excited about. One of them that is coming very shortly.
Yep. I was going to make that argument if it came down to it. It was like every game he announces elicits excitement.
I do think Obsidian Entertainment should be here, even if they're towards the bottom of the list, because not only did they just have Avowed come out, which seems to be very popular. A lot of people love this game. They have Outer Worlds 2 coming. Pentiment was a big hit. People like the Outer Worlds. They're kind of pulling Xbox on their back right now. I think they should be here.
I agree. You're pulling from the games that were in my 30, so I'm not mad.
I do think one of the Atlas studios should be here. I do think it should be P Studio, not Studio Zero. Studio Zero has... If I am fine, honestly, if they both make it. Studio Zero seems like a great candidate for the 35th step for 35th studio on this list. You've made one game, and we have no idea what you're doing next. Seems weird to have them over the team that made Persona 5, made the Reload, presumably made all of the Persona 5 extra shit, too. Feels like they should be here over the new studio.
So we're moving both of them or just P Studio?
Just P Studio for now. That gets us to 29, which means we have 6 spots left. I've done a lot of recommending. What other bubble studios do you think should be there?
I think you made a good argument for Monolith Soft. The Xenoblade games are extremely beloved, and they're helping with other huge Nintendo games.
Good with me?
I think, on that note, I think Intelligent Systems should be on there. Like, you know, the Thousand Year Door remake last year was beloved, and the Fire Emblem games are huge and extremely consistent.
That's fair. I would like to put, Game Freak should be on here. It's kind of, considering some of the ones that we're putting on, we'd be dumb. Game Freak honestly should have been put on a lot longer. That leaves 3 spots. We have Studio Zero, which is the people who made Metaphor, IO Interactive, Guerrilla Games, Ubisoft Quebec, Platinum Games, MiHoYo, Firaxis, and Team Ninja. I think Team Ninja should get the boot, and if Ninja Gaiden 4 is a massive hit, then they should be here. Similarly with Platinum Games. I think Platinum Games had a pretty big drought. I don't remember what that one game was, but it was one of the worst selling
Babylon's
games.
Babylon's Fall.
Was horrendous. And
it was their fall.
Takes a lot to come back from that. And even though Bayonetta 3 was liked, it was by no means the most beloved of them. So I think they need to have a win to be back here. That leaves us with 6 left, with 3 spots left. Sam, is there any that you think we should get rid of?
People don't love Civilization 7.
That is true, but I've also learned apparently no one ever likes them until after all the DLCs come out.
That's fair.
So maybe I guess we should critique them, make your game finished. But the thing is, if we don't put them on there now, we're not paying attention to the DLCs. They're not getting added next year when people kind of like this game a little more.
I think if like a new XCOM game was out, I think that would be a little easier. And don't get me wrong, they've made the XCOM game, so maybe that should be considered. I just think if we're given 3 slots for all the fucking logic we put toward, like, Riot Games, like, MiHoYo should be on there.
I think MiHoYo should be on there. So, Firaxis gone, MiHoYo yes. That leaves 2 spots with Studio Zero, IO Interactive, Guerrilla, and Ubisoft Quebec. This is difficult because they all represent something different and they're all doing something different. I think if we go by power rankings of now, what have you given to me? What are you going to give me? Studio Zero definitely has a great mark in the what have you given me recently. IO Interactive, they haven't had something very recent. I think it was 2 years ago they had the roguelike mode for 3 that people adored. But otherwise, we just know they're working on the Bond game. Guerrilla, Horizon Forbidden West, each to your own for how you feel about that game. What are they working on? We don't really know. And then Ubisoft Quebec, we know Assassin's Creed Shadows is coming very shortly.
What if Ubisoft Quebec maybe haunts the 35th spot? And a little bit of like a we're interested in Shadows.
I'm good with that.
So that gives us one more spot.
I think we're on 2 different sides. I think you would go Studio Zero. I think I would go IO Interactive.
So either way, sorry, Guerrilla Games. The public sentiment has turned against you.
Okay, I don't know if this goes to Guerrilla Games' credit, but if this argument works for you, then maybe we need to add them back. They did create the Decima engine, which has bolstered a lot of PlayStation games, which is their doing. And I know from like a public perception point of view, it doesn't really matter, but from a how important is the studio, like we said, Monolith Soft, I would argue that makes them semi-important.
But didn't Monolith Soft like actually directly do development on?
Yes, but like Death Stranding doesn't exist without Guerrilla.
Yes.
What other games? Is it just Death Stranding that has used it, or have other games used it? I'm not entirely sure, to be honest.
I believe that's it. Listen, I'm willing to put, I mean, Guerrilla Games was in my top 30.
But I also am, the Studio Zero just feels weird to put a studio on here that has only made one game and we know nothing else about what they're working on. And yes, it was a very good game. I don't know, maybe then they do deserve it. But IO Interactive has also made some people's like favorite game of all time.
By the same
and
logic you're
on
playing,
Bond.
Kojima Productions has only made one game.
But we know what they're working on. They have a Death Stranding sequel and 2 more games coming. One with Jordan Peele, and then one that's a weird...
Team Asobi has only released really one real game.
But they
don't
have
know what
released,
they're working on next.
We know they've worked on VR stuff before. It's just like a... I think they're also a fun spot for the 35th, but considering what IO not only has done in Hitman, but has done as like a business entity, what they've gone through in
yeah,
the last 10 years,
fair.
And to still be around and still be making another game, I don't know.
I'm clearly not going to win the Studio Zero battle, so now it's IO Interactive versus Guerrilla Games. I mean, is it IO because, like, we were so willing to put Guerrilla on the bubble?
I don't know. I'm not even totally against the Atlas choice. I need to leave soon, so we just need to make a decision. This is so hard. This is like, maybe we should just make it 40.
Is that what we do? I don't know.
No, we should make a decision because we got so close. I don't know. Because the thing is,
I don't think either of us feel that passionately. We haven't played the Hitman games. We're iffy on Forbidden West, and we haven't played Metaphor. I don't know. I think if you were to
4 hours of Metaphor and probably 6 hours of Hitman, and I had a little more fun with Hitman.
Let's put IO in, because I think if we were to poll the public between these three about, like, which is, like, the best, if we're just ranking, like, the best studios in or developers in games, there's a lot of sentiment against Guerrilla. There's a lot of love for IO in one camp and Studio Zero in one camp, and if we lean a little slightly toward more IO, let's put it in there.
Sounds good. IO is our 35th. Sam will post the 35 in the show notes, unranked.
In alphabetical order.
So you guys can see what we will be ranking later on. That has been the show. We love you. Be kind, jump up, and be a goddamn superstar.
Woohoo!